preach this morning from this fourth commandment. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. You may be seated. This is the day that the Lord has made. This morning, kind of track with me now, follow me prayerfully. All of this sermon will make some sense to you as we go through it, especially at the end of it. But this commandment, the fourth commandment, it's the only commandment that wasn't repeated in the New Testament that, hey, you gotta observe this. All the other nine, you know, that should not kill, that should not commit adultery, should have no other gods. All the other nine of the ten were reiterated, were reemphasized in the New Testament. But this particular one was not. But that doesn't mean we're going to throw it away, so just stay with me. But this commandment was not reiterated or reemphasized in the New Testament. So it's a much debated command. It's a somewhat controversial command, especially today in the New Testament church. But again, my prayer today is as we go through the scriptures, as the Lord speaks to us, that we would leave here today with a better understanding of the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath literally means to rest. So if you're taking notes, Sabbath means to rest or cease from work. The Sabbath, the Hebrew word, it means to rest or to cease from work. So verse 8 says to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep the Sabbath day holy means to separate it. To keep it holy means to set it apart. Different and unique from any other day. That's what the text says. That's what the commandments say. God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember this day of rest and keep it holy. In the movie, some of y'all might have seen the movie, The Chariots of Fire. True movie. This Christian by the name of Eric Liddell. He was a Christian and he was training for the Olympics. And the trials, the particular heat that he had to run in was on a Sunday. And so Eric Liddell, who was a Christian, he refused to run on that Sunday. Now, was he right or was he wrong? We'll come back to that later, so you got to stay with me this morning. You know, today, I mean, we just read how God said, don't do any work on the Sabbath day, on the day of rest. And let me say this parenthetically, the Sabbath day in the Old Testament was Saturday. It was Saturday. That was the seventh day. But the Sabbath in the New Testament, we recognize it the first day of the week, Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we'll explain that a little later too. But today we have people who have to work on Sunday. You know, we have hospital workers. Sister Roxy, I don't see her today, but when she before she retired, every other Sunday she had to work. Brother Ford, he's at work today. He has to work on Sunday. People who work in the prison system or the county jail. I mean, you can't just let the prisoners be free on Sunday and do their own thing. So somebody got to watch this in the jail on Sunday. I mean, athletes, today they'll be playing football and then, you know, baseball, basketball, baseball season is over. But you know, athletes, they perform, if you will, or work on Sunday. So is it right or wrong? We're going to address that as we go through the text. So just stay with me this morning. A great group of Christian people called the Puritans, who lived several hundred years ago, the Puritans, a great group of Christian people. I read some of their writings and stuff. They're really, you can tell, they walk closely with God. But the Puritans, they're New Testament believers, they believe that the Old Testament restrictions that it relates to the Sabbath in the Old Testament, they believe that it applied to the New Testament Christian. So they would have different things you could and could not do on Sunday, on the Sabbath day, you know, stuff like you couldn't even shave because that was kind of like work, you know, certain things like that. A story goes, it's supposed to be a true story, of this church of the Puritans. They had a pastor and it was in a real cold region that was real icy. So the story goes, it's supposed to be a true story, that this pastor would skate to church. You know, he would get some skates since it was, you know, cold. He would skate to church. And so that really kind of upset some of the leaders in the church, some of the Puritans in the church. And so they literally had a meeting about, can the pastor skate to church? Because that's kind of like work. You know, can he skate to church? It's supposed to be a true story. And so they met and they finally came to the conclusion that, yes, he can skate to church, but he can't enjoy it. Don't let him enjoy it. So we get into some of those type of things that we're not careful. I mean, even in the Old Testament, God came out with some certain restrictions for the Sabbath day. But you all know, by the time we got to the New Testament, they added all kind of extra stuff to the Sabbath day man had. But let's look at the overall principle of the Sabbath day before we get into some of the little nuts and bolts of it. The Sabbath day, as we just read, it's a commandment from God. The Bible says God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So we got to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, to get the biblical mandate for the Sabbath day's rest. This is what it says. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. He blessed it and he set it apart. He made it holy because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So God created the Sabbath rest. Here it is. One of the reasons we need to observe God's Sabbath rest. God says you and I need to rest. The Sabbath was created because we need to rest. God gives us a biblical precedent. He says, work 6 days and the seventh day you shall rest. So much so he even gave the example himself, in a sense, even laid his reputation on the line. Because we know, how many of y'all know he wasn't tired. God didn't need to rest. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He doesn't get tired. But he gave us an example. Said, I worked 6 days and I rested on the seventh day. And God said, since I rested, you rest. He set us an example. Rest at least one day out of seven. Now, on the flip side, if you rest in one day out of seven, that means you work in the other six. God created work before the fall, before Genesis 3. I think Minister Bray mentioned that this morning in his time in Sunday Blast. God created work before the fall of man. Now, work became harder after the fall, but work was not a curse. God created work. Work is a good thing. I said, work is a good thing. Somebody said, Pastor, you, I don't know about that now. It's Monday morning. But no, work is a good thing. Work is a good thing. Listen to this. The only way you shouldn't be working is if you physically or mentally are unable to work. If you just can't, you know, either your mind or your body just can't work. That's the only way you should not be working. Or maybe you just got laid off or you between jobs, but you need to be looking for a job. But everybody needs to work. Even our retirees, and we got quite a few retirees, you still need to be doing something productive. And many of our retirees here at Love Fellowship, many of them come at the church and help here at the church, or many of y'all are involved with some Christ-centered agencies, or maybe other agencies that do some good things. But even a retiree needs to be working. The stay-at-home mom, the biggest myth is, oh, they just stay at home. They not work. No, Sister O'Gwen would tell you, the stay-at-home, that's some hard work to stay at home and raise kids and do all that stuff. I'd rather be working out in the workplace than be a stay-at-home. You know, we have some stay-at-home dads these days. I don't know about that, the stay-at-home dad, but everybody need to be working. God said you need to work. The Bible even gives us a great illustration. God said if you don't work, you don't eat. This guy I've been kind of ministering to off and on for a few years now, Brother Rodney, this guy, and he'll work and do little odds and ends out here. He cuts the grass and stuff like that. But I've been telling him for about 2 or 3 years now, brother, you need to get you a 9-to-5 job. You need to get you a job. It's been about 2, 3, 4 years. He ain't got a job yet. I said, brother, you don't really want to work. So I'm not going to even help you to eat anymore. I think I'm being biblical with that mandate. You don't work, you don't eat. Sometimes when we minister to people, we got to minister with love, but we got to have discernment too. I mean, I'm not going to enable somebody who won't work. God says you got to work. But the other side of it is, you got to be balanced in your work. Don't work yourself to death. Don't be a workaholic. Y'all hear me talk about my brother. He started working when he was about 6 or 7 years old. My granddad began to teach him how to cut grass, and my brother was so short he couldn't use the regular bar on the lawnmower. He had to use that bar that's halfway down. That's how he pushed the lawnmower. True story. And so at very early, work got into his DNA, and so he's always just worked himself. I often tell him, brother, he works at a paper mill, and he's like over the maintenance department. I said, brother, if you die, that paper mill gonna run on. They're gonna keep on going. It's gonna bring another person here. So God gives an example of take rest, work, but have some balance. I remember one time, I think I've shared this with y'all before, when I was working at TVA, I worked there as a computer programmer for 16 and a half years. And I remember I was on this project, and Brother Sid, and it was just, man, 7 days a week, 12, 13 hours a day. I mean, it was just wearing us out. We had a deadline. And finally, I got mentally and emotionally drained. And I'll never forget this. I was working in Warehouse Row right across from the TVA complex. And that afternoon, I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, I can't think. I'm just worn out. You know, somehow you need to give me a break. Give me a break. And I'll never forget this. Mid-afternoon in Warehouse Road, working for TVA, who produces some power, God shut down all the power. The electricity, the lights went out, the power went out. TVA has some power, Brother Jim, but God has all power. And so the lights went out, and it wasn't that dark, you know, because it was daytime. Computers wouldn't work because the power was gone. I guess they didn't have a backup generator. So eventually our manager came. He said, you all can go home. Y'all can't do any work. Hey, I left out there rejoicing. This is the day that the Lord has made. I get a break today. You can say what you want to. Oh, that was just an accident. That was coincidence. No, I'm saying God answered some prayer that day. I probably wasn't the only one praying, but God answered prayer. I'll never forget that. You need balance in life. So God created the Sabbath day as a day of rest. That's one of the reasons he created that Sabbath day. Another reason he created the Sabbath day, it's going to be 3 hours. I'm going to give you this morning. He created the Sabbath day as a day of rest. He also created the Sabbath day as a day of reflection. A day of reflection, or a day of remembering. A day of reflection, or a day of remembering. That's why God created the Sabbath day. To rest, you know, get you some rest, spend some family time. But also a day of reflection, a day of remembering. If you still have your Bibles open, turn with me to Deuteronomy. We're in Exodus, so just a couple of books over. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Ten Commandments are so important, God had to repeat them. He had to mention them again, so they're listed over in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Once again, God created the Sabbath day as a day of rest, and as a day of reflection, and a day of remembering. Deuteronomy 5, I'm going to end up on verse 12, but let me just start with verse 6 again. Deuteronomy chapter 5, hope you're there. If you're like me, I must confess, I can't find the books in the Bible like I used to. I've gotten kind of small. I got a laptop with Bible Gateway and stuff on. I can just hit a button, and I got my phone, got the Bible on my phone, got iPads. And so, you know, I love the Bible. I love to read it still like this, but I just can't find them quite as fast as I used to, because I'm used to just putting it in and it come right up. I know y'all not having that problem. Y'all, I often tell people, don't really worry about it as long as you're reading it. I mean, I like to read. I'm old school, but if you're reading it on your phone, if you're reading it on an iPad, as long as you're reading it and understanding it and applying it and obeying it, I think God is okay with that. That's my personal opinion. I think God is okay with that. This is what the Lord says in Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. Again, he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. In Deuteronomy 5 and 12. The fourth commandment, the one I'm preaching on this morning. Listen to what he said. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of rest of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any other of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. I think God is making it very clear. He doesn't want us to work. He said, don't work. Tell them don't work. And that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. Here it is. Day of reflection, day of remembering. And remember, as we go on, I'm going to kind of give you the nuts and bolts of it. But right now, I just want you to get the bottom main foundational concept of why God gave us the Sabbath day before we get into, should you do it on Saturday or Sunday? What should you do and what should you not do? So I want you to get this more important thing right here. Listen, as a day of reflection and a day of remembering, listen to what he told his children and what he's telling us this morning. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God says, set aside a day to reflect on who he is and reflect on your relationship with him. God says, set a day aside to remember who he is. Just think about who he is. He told them, remember, I'm the one that brought you up out of Egypt. So you and I, every day of the week, but at least one day a week, set it apart and say, God, you are the one that brought me out. God, you are the one that saved me. Lord, you are the one who protects me. God, you are the one who leads me and guides me. Lord, you are the one who woke me up this morning. God, you are the one who's given me every good and perfect gift is from above. Lord, you are the one who keeps me. You are the one who watched over me. God said, at least take one day aside and make it holy to me and reflect and remember who I am. Does that make sense this morning? So the Sabbath day was created as a day of rest. It was created as a day of reflecting on him and your relationship with him. And as a day of remembrance, a day of remembering at least one day a week. And we should be doing that every day. I said we should be doing that every day. Hey, y'all still trying to catch up with that hour or something from last night? You know, I know we set the time back and they said you're supposed to gain an hour, brother and sister, but I don't know. I missed that hour somewhere. I don't know what happened. So God says, reflect on him. Remember him. Psalms 103 fits in really good here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who forgives all your sins. Who forgives all your transgressions. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, who wouldn't want to set aside a day like that and spend with a God like that? Who wouldn't want to set aside a day and a special day to spend time with a God like that? So it's a day of reflection, a day of remembering, thinking about the fact that God created everything. This is the day that the Lord has made. So saints, every day, think about the Lord. Every day, but especially on the Lord's Day, especially on the Sabbath day. Remember how God has brought you out. Remember how he's kept you. Remember how he saved you. Remember how he's delivered you. Remember how he provides for you. Remember how he protects you. Remember how he's your friend. Every day, but especially one day a week, set it aside and say, God, this is your day. Every day is your day, but this is your day. Reflect on him and remember these types of things. The things that he has done, the things that he is doing right now, and the things that he's going to do in the future. Analyze your relationship with the Lord. So the Sabbath day is a day of rest. The Sabbath day is a day of reflection and remembering. And as you reflect and remember, the Sabbath day is a day of rejoicing. The Sabbath day is a day of rejoicing. As you begin to reflect on God and his goodness, as you begin to reflect on his love and his patience, as you begin to reflect on his kindness, his omniscience, he knows everything, his omnipresent, he's everywhere all at the same time, his omnipotence, he's all power. When you begin to reflect on these things, his justice and his wrath, when you begin to reflect on all of these attributes of God, it will prompt some rejoicing. I say it will prompt some rejoicing. When you begin to think about who God is, when you begin to think about the fact that he is God over the whole universe and you are blessed to have a relationship with him, it's going to prompt some rejoicing. It's going to prompt some rejoicing, some worship, some praise, some adoration. God, he's not the big man upstairs or the buddy down the street. He is God. He's Yahweh, he's Elohim, he's Jehovah Jireh, he's Jehovah Rapha, he's Jehovah Shalom, he's God. He's God, even as I hear Minister Thurman just pray, he's God all by himself. He doesn't need you, he doesn't need me, but he so loved us, he created us and then saved us. So he want to have a personal relationship with us, with you, with me. So when I reflect on that, when I remember that, I rejoice. Rejoice. I say, I rejoice that I'm a friend of God. I'm a son of the living God. I rejoice. And sometimes we got to slow down and rest and take a Sabbath day rest to reflect on that, to just remember that, because we get so busy. A lot of times doing good things, we get so busy, you know, working and family and this and that and running here and there. God says, stop. Set one day aside. Set a day aside. This is the Lord's day. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the Sabbath day. Set it aside. Make it holy. Holy to our God. Well, how did Jesus respond to the Sabbath? We're going to get into some of the questions now, if you will. But once again, let me repeat this. I want this to stay in your heart and mind, stay in your spirit. The Sabbath day was created to give us a day of rest. The Sabbath day was created to give us time to reflect on God, to remember about who He is. And also the Sabbath day was given to us as a day to rejoice. But how did Jesus respond in the New Testament, if you will, to the Sabbath day? You know, the religious leaders, they often accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. But Jesus didn't come to break the Sabbath. He even said himself, I didn't come to break or abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. See, again, man had added so many petty regulations to the Sabbath day. You can only do this. You can only do that. You do this, do that. You can only do this. Jesus simply said, I'm not observing all of your man-made additions. And he even talked to them about, he said, hey, if your ox fall into a ditch, even on Sunday, or Saturday, then, you don't supposed to work. He said, if your ox fall into a ditch, you're going to go pull him out. So Jesus said, if I want to heal somebody on the Sabbath, I'm going to heal them. You know, there was one time when Jesus was in the temple and the Pharisees and Sadducees were watching him. This man had a withered hand and he came up to Jesus. This is the Sabbath day. He came up to Jesus and Jesus healed him. And they got on him and gave him flack about that, about healing somebody on the Sabbath. How crazy, how foolish, how far from God can you get that this man had a withered hand and Jesus healed him? They should have been rejoicing. They should have been praising. They should have had a praise dance. They should have been rejoicing, but they got upset because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. So Jesus, I'm not God. Matter of fact, Jesus, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus, I created the Sabbath. So Jesus, he didn't get into all the little nitpicking and this and that. And you can only do this on the Sabbath day. They're, even today, certain parts of the Middle East, I forgot the exact country, but I heard this recently during this week when I was doing some of my research. Because many of the Jewish brethren who, you know, don't think Christ has come yet, and many of them who still, for instance, go by all the Sabbath day regulations, no work on the Sabbath, they say it's a hotel. There's an elevator in this hotel that goes up and down all day on the Sabbath because nobody would push a button because that's like work. See, when you're going too that far, you're just going too far. Stop the elevator, cut it off or something. So Jesus said, I'm not observing all these man-made regulations. Again, though, the Sabbath day is for rest. It's for reflection. It's for rejoicing. So why doesn't the New Testament church observe the Old Testament Sabbath like they did in the Old Testament? Well, again, this is not my opinion. This is not my thinking this through. I just want y'all to hear what the Bible says. Once again, of all the Ten Commandments, we are commanded in the New Testament to keep nine of them, to keep nine. But the tenth, we are not commanded in the, if I'm wrong, show me somewhere in the scripture. You can show me this week or whatever. But you won't find in the New Testament anywhere where we are commanded like the other nine to do this, that, or the other on the Sabbath day. We ought to keep it holy. We ought to set it apart, but we're not commanded. Listen to this. Colossians 2. Some of y'all are looking at me a little strange. Let me just read the word of God to you. Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 2. Write that down. Read it later. Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. The Lord says through Paul as he writes this. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. God said, don't let anybody judge you as it relates to Sabbaths. He said, that's just a substance of things to come. Matter of fact, Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest, if you will. So we don't have to worry about all those little do this and do that. The Old Testament regulations, even for the Sabbath, are not transferable to the New Testament. You know, God just said in Colossians 3, don't let anybody judge you as according to the Sabbath. So I love the Puritans. I love the Puritans. But that particular part, they got that one a little wrong. Bringing all the Old Testament regulations on the Sabbath and bringing it to the New Testament church. Colossians 2 says, don't do that. Well, what about should we be here today worshiping on Saturday or Sunday? You know, our Seventh-day Adventist friends, they said, well, you should do it on Saturday. Once again, let's look and see what God says. when you're talking to people who might believe something differently, I'm learning. I try not to really necessarily get in an argument or this is my opinion. And this. No, I just say what the Bible says. And I'm going to stick with what the Bible says. You might be wrong. I might be wrong. We're going to stick with what the Bible says. So you will find nowhere in the New Testament where the followers of Christ or the New Testament church, you will find nowhere in the New Testament where they gathered together and their corporate day of worship was Saturday. It was Sunday. Let me write this down. Let me give you this. Acts 20 and 7. This is for the New Testament church, which we are this morning. It says, now on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. There you go. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. That's the fellowship and even have communion. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. But on the first day of the week, that's when they came together. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Because we come together on the first day of the week because that's the day Christ was resurrected. We come to celebrate and commemorate his resurrection. So 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So basically, you can read it later. I won't go into it too deeply. But basically, Paul was saying on the first day of the week, when y'all come together on the first day of the week, when y'all take up the offering. So when I come, I'll be able to get the offering and take it to the various churches and missionaries that need it. Paul said on the first day of the week. So those are just two verses where it shows us in the New Testament quite plainly that the saints of God came together to worship corporately on the first day of the week, just like we're doing this morning. And once again, they primarily did that because what day of the week did Christ, was he resurrected? It was the first day of the week. It was that Sunday. So we're here worshiping today on this Sabbath day, on this Sunday, on this Lord's Day. We are worshiping and celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He arose on the first day of the week. We'll assemble and worship on the first day of the week. But every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of worship. But we come together collectively on this first day of the week. Then listen to this. Romans 14 talks about not arguing about one day or another. Verses 5 and 6 even says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So the one who observes a day observes it in honor of the Lord. So once again, every day we should honor the Lord. But we come together on the first day of the week, on this Sabbath day, to worship and honor the Lord. Well, let me get down to something I had mentioned earlier. Should Eric Little or Eric Liddell, should he have run on that Sunday since he was a Christian? Should he have run on that Sunday? Well, some Christians would say yes and some would say no. I believe something like that, because as we search the scriptures, I don't see in the Bible if it say you can participate in a 5K on Sunday or not. I don't see that in the scriptures. So people will debate and disagree and argue on that. So I think we get a good precedent from Romans 14, 5 and 6, where it talks about each person must be fully convinced in his own mind as it relates to something like that. Now, even as I was going on this, I said, I better quickly put an asterisk by this. I better quickly say this. I don't run out of here talking about the pastor said, I can do whatever I'm convinced of in my own mind. I can do it. I feel like just running over somebody today. So I'm convinced in my own mind. I can do it. No, I'm not saying that. I mean, there are certain things as a Christian, you know, we should and should not do. I'm talking about things like that example of should I run this race? Should I run this qualification on Sunday or not? The Bible also gives another principle about don't violate your conscience. Even talking about sometimes about the eating of meat. You know, some didn't want to eat meat because they've been sacrificed to idols. Paul said, really, that's neither here nor there. I can eat that and still be holy. But since that messes with your conscience, I'm not going to even do it. I'm talking about those types of things. So Eric Liddell, he could have run, or he didn't run, but if somebody else came up and said, I'm going to run, but I'm going to run to the glory of God. He gave me the ability to run, so I'm going to run to the glory of God. Sometimes I believe when we're talking about things like the Sabbath day, we forget, again, that's why I mentioned it up front, we forget the primary purpose that it was created. It was created, once again, to give us some rest. God set us an example. Companies are finally catching up with that. You know, some companies, they need to figure out, if you work them 7 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, at some point, your productivity is going to go down. Give them a day off. They'll probably come back more ready to work then. I mean, so God, once again, gives us a pattern. you know, the Sabbath day was given to us, Brother BJ, as a day of rest. The Sabbath day was given to us as a day of reflection, a day of remembering who God is, reflecting on your relationship with God. The Sabbath day was given to us as a day of rejoicing. By the way, that Puritan pastor, he should have been allowed to skate to the church on Sunday and enjoy it. When I think of God's rest, when I think of his Sabbath rest, I can't help but to think of Jesus. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. But God gives us this one day out of seven principle that we may rest and pull aside for a moment and spend a little extra family time and do some things you maybe kind of enjoy that are relaxing for you. Pull aside for a day. But also, on that day, also, once again, I'm going to keep saying that, reflect on just who God is. Reflect and analyze your relationship with him. Remember those things that God has done in your life, what he's doing in the past and what he's doing now and what he's going to do in the future. And as you do that, you're gonna rejoice. And matter of fact, I thought about think and thank as I was saying this, but really, you think about it. When you begin to reflect on who God is, when you begin to reflect on who he is, you can't help but to rejoice. I said, you can't help but to rejoice. You begin to reflect on who our awesome Father is, who our Lord and Savior is. You can't help but to rejoice. I'm gonna say that again. If you begin to reflect and think about who God is, you can't help but to rejoice. So reflect and rejoice. Remember and rejoice. Rest and rejoice. I won't push this too far, but in the Old Testament, you think about it, they worked 6 days and they rested on the seventh day. But in the New Testament, God says, come to me on the first day, your first fruits. Come to me on the first day. So in the New Testament, we rest, if you will, on the first day and then go work on the other days. God says the first thing you need to do as you start a week off, like this day is the first day of the week, right? Our God says the first thing you need to do is reflect on him. Reminisce about he and you. Think about how he, once again, how he's brought you out. Think about the fact that he loved us so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Reflect on the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reflect on the fact that Jesus, when he came, he healed the sick. He allowed the lame to walk and the mute to talk. He cleansed the lepers. He cast out demons. He even rose people from the grave. So reflect and remember that. Remember the fact that he went to an old rugged cross for you and for me. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but early on that third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. So reflect on that. Think about the fact that he walked the earth 40 more days after that, and then he ascended on back into heaven. Reflect on that. And then also think about the fact that he's coming back again one day. I say he's coming back again one day. So I need to set aside at least one day to reflect and remember all of that. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. See, y'all got this one right this morning, because you all are here this morning. But Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 said, let us consider how to stir one another up toward love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, God said, you need to go to church. Simply put, you need to tell all your little Christian friends who's talking about, well, Christian, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to come together. I can watch it on TV. I can get it on the internet. That's okay if you do that. Sometimes you have to do that. But God says in Hebrews 10, he said, don't neglect the coming together. It's something about when his people of God come together, worship and praise God, to bring your offerings to the Lord, to hear a word from the Lord, to encourage one another, to get that hug, holy hug from a brother or sister in Christ. It's something about when people of God come together. So God said, don't stop coming together as some do. It kills me when people say, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. That's right. When I got saved, I wasn't in church the day I got saved. But God says, come to his house. So saints, keep on coming to church on the first day of the week. This is the Lord's day. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad. I said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was excited. I wasn't excited, Minister Bray, just because I had to preach this morning. I just got on the pastor. I was excited last Sunday when Minister Terman preached. I'm just glad. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when I was over in Dallas. I had to go to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship and hear Tony Evans preach. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a holy day. God has set it apart. Spend some time with me. Rest a little bit. Reflect on who I am. Remember how you and I, what our relationship is all about. God says, and then God said, rejoice. You know how it used to be. Let me go back, take you back a little bit. Maybe way, way, way back, and I'm about through. Maybe when you met that first little special person in your life, might have been high school, might have been college, might have been after college, and you know, you are so in love. And I'm going to date myself now, but this is for young people. This is before cell phones. So you get that phone, that rotary phone, and sometimes it had a long cord, and you pull it in. And depending on your household, I know my household, you can only call on certain hours. And I'm going to go way back now. Some of my cousins had it. We didn't have it. Some of my cousins had it. Sometimes you had a party line where it wasn't even just your house, but other folks had the same line as you had. You pick it up, somebody else on the phone. Be like, man, I can't even use the phone. But you know, you couldn't wait to call that little special person. You call them up, y'all talk. Then maybe every now and then you get to see them. Maybe once a week, even though you've talked all week, but you couldn't wait to Saturday or something to get to see them. Well, in a sense, what God is saying, you need to talk to him all week long. I said, you need to talk to him all week long. But then something about when the saints come together, something about when we gather, God said, give me a special day. Just come to me all the more on this special day. This is. The day that the Lord has made, and I don't know about you, but I will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad, not mad, not sad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So when I come today, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Oh yeah, somebody didn't hear that. I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Because I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go into the, let me illustrate this. And some of y'all are not getting this. When I come through the door, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and I come into his courts with praise. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Because he's a good God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He said, give me every day, but one day set it aside as holy. One day just set it aside. Just me and you hanging out. One day just set aside as holy. He's a good God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And I ain't got to argue about what day, Saturday, Sunday, what you can do and don't do on this day. I'm going to give it to the Lord. If your heart is right with the Lord, you'll be right on this day and every other day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because he made it. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He deserves adoration. He deserves praise. He deserves worship. We need to rejoice in his presence. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I don't know about you, but I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go into the house of prayer. Let us go to the place where God comes and tabernacles with us. I was glad. Hey, I feel like hooping, and I'm not even a hooper. I was glad. I can't let this go. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What better place to be? that in the presence of God and around the saints of God. What better place to be? Heaven is the only place better to be. This is a little taste of heaven. I said, this should be a little taste of heaven. We forget that. This should be a little taste of heaven. This right here, when we come together to worship a great and an awesome God, to worship an awesome Savior, to experience the Holy Spirit, this should be a little taste. Just a little foretaste. Just a little foretaste. Just a little foretaste of heaven. This is the day. This is the day. This is a day to get you a little rest. This is a day to reflect on who he is. Remember who he is. And this is a day to rejoice. I said, this is a day to rejoice. This is a day to rejoice. Hey, I'm not trying to evoke emotionalism. I'm just saying this is a day to rejoice. This is a day to rejoice. You've had trouble all week long, probably. This is a day to rejoice. Bills wearing you down. This is a day to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will. Nobody got to prompt me or pep me up or fire me up and let the praise lead. You got to get us pumped up. Get us pumped up. Now ain't nobody got to pump you up. If you've been worshiping and praising all week, you ought to come to the door with a song in your heart. You ought to come through the door with a praise in your spirit. You ought to come through the door worshiping our awesome God. Worshiping our awesome God. Don't wait on the choir or the preacher or the deacon to pump you up. You ought to come pumped up. I said, you ought to come pumped up. I mean, all those things are good little attitudes, but you ought to come pumped up. This is the day the Lord has made. I will, you will, you should rejoice in it and be glad. And be glad. Think about who you are in Christ. Think about what God has done for you and what he does for you every day. Think about what Jesus did for us. That prompts rejoicing. We all got to stop and reflect and remember those things sometimes. And it prompts, it evokes rejoicing. It evokes rejoicing. Just taste of the Lord and see that he is good. He's a good God. I say he's a good God. He's not some evil deity. He's a good God. He's a God of grace and mercy. Also a God of justice and wrath. But he's a good God. He's a good God. One more time. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the day to get you a little rest. This is a day to reflect on who he is and your relationship with him. This is a day to remember what God has done, how he's brought us out. He says it several times, told the Egyptians, Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt. All of us had our own Egypts. All of us had our own bondage. He's still bringing some of us out of some stuff. But remember, he is the God who has brought you out of bondage. He is the God who broke the chains. He is the God who delivers us. When you think about that, you can't help but to rejoice. You can't help but to rejoice. You can't help but to rejoice. Father, we thank you for being the Lord of the Sabbath.